welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Thank you. That's very nice. Thank you. I'll pick that one up and have it then. There we go. Right. I don't know quite how to pick up from that. One of the awesome things about the Nativity is the mystery of it, isn't it? You know, if you children could stop throwing the sweets around now, please. Hallelujah. I mean, you got the kings coming from the east. Or were they kings? Or were they astrologers? Or were they wise men? You know, this whole mystery is built into the story, and you get the various interpretations of it. Chris Daniels, I know, he's got this theory that the kings were like ninjas. So, you know, you can just see them dressed all in their black pajamas coming for before King Herod, you know. Have you seen the Son of God? But that is quite a weird theory, and I'm not sure it's mainstream. It's according to the Bruce Lee interpretation of the Bible, I believe, Chris, that you are reading. Maybe you shouldn't be. And what about the angels appearing to the shepherds, you know? Now, of course, if they were like our shepherds down here, they were sort of Scarborean, you know, shepherds. When this massive angels appeared to them, they probably looked up and went, now then. On the other hand, I like the story about the angels that says, you know, because at the start of the story, as it tells it in Luke, there's just one angel. It says this angel of the Lord appears to them and sort of begins to give them the message about Christ is being, but the baby's being born in Bethlehem, and you better rush on down there and you can see it. And then it says in Luke, it says, suddenly the heavens were full of angels. And, you know, you sometimes get this picture. If you imagine that the gap between heaven and earth is like some sort of hole, you know, and this angel was allowed through into the earthly realms, the one that had been chosen. So you've got like this special angel who's been chosen, okay, to appear to all the man, and he's there and he's giving the message, and all the other angels are all sort of peering through from the heavenlies at what's going on, you know, all sort of shoving, let me see, this is important, let me see. Suddenly, the hole, as they're leaning on the hole, they all fall through. So all these angels suddenly appear in the, because it says suddenly, they suddenly appear in the skies. Look at one and say, what do we do now, lads? Glory to God. Well, if I'm just about ruining the magical mystery of so you've got, and then you've got, so you've got the kings and you've got the shepherds appearing to Jesus. So you've got, you know, in what's happening there, you've got some of the richest people to some of the poorest people, to some who are regarded wise, to some who are regarded simple, to some who are accepted, to some who are rejected. Because the profession of a shepherd, sorry you shepherds, the profession of a shepherd wasn't actually very well regarded. They were actually these shepherds on the hill. They were the ones that were preparing the lambs for the sacrifice at Jerusalem. That was their job. They looked after those sheep. Which is interesting that those were the shepherds that went down to see the lamb in the manger. God just likes to bring everything together. But you've got the Jewish shepherds there coming to see Jesus. You've got the non-Jewish kings coming to see Jesus right there at the beginning to show that he is for the whole world. Yeah? But it's still a bit of a mystery. Whether it's Scarborean shepherds, now then, or the ninja mutant ninja turtle kings of Chris Daniels' theology. The wise man. Can you not see? Stop. Just don't do that when you do the nativity play at school, okay? Oh yes, I'll be a king. Hallelujah. But there's the mystery. I got this verse in 1 Timothy, if you want to turn to it. Keep listening. If you want to turn to it, 1 Timothy 3:16 also talks of mystery. Sometimes, you know, we try and tie up absolutely everything. And we don't know the answer to absolutely everything. We just know the answer. We don't know the answer to everything. The answer is Jesus, but we still don't understand everything. And sometimes Christians get fairly accused of seeming to have all the answers, knowing all the answers. Oh, well, that's... And you know, we don't really. But we do know the man who does. And that's where we stand. But Paul writes here to Timothy, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. Anybody like a mystery or a secret? Yeah, sometimes. I like those secrets that are like what present you've got for somebody for Christmas. And you don't tell anybody. You know, you keep it a secret. Well, God had this amazing secret. Absolutely awesome secret. And funnily enough, it was a secret for Christmas. Here he says, beyond all question, the secret is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nation, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. So who do you think this secret is? Bit of long words in there. Keep listening. I want you to know what the secret was that God had. Because all these people in the old book of the Bible, they didn't know the secret. But you can. In the Amplified Bible, it says this, and great and important and weighty. I think they're trying to emphasize. And great and important and weighty, we confess, is the hidden truth, the mystic secret of godliness. Actually, it's not talking about Jesus. He goes on to talk about Jesus. He, God, was made visible in human form. Who was that? Go on then. You're in Sunday school, so it must be the answer. Yeah, it would be. Trouble is, if you ask this lot, what creature lives in Africa, has four legs and a long, tall neck, and eats leaves from the tree? Jesus! Yeah. It's a giraffe. That was Jesus, was made visible in human flesh. And this bit's interesting. It says vindicated in the other one. Justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit. How was Jesus justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit? Because it was by the Spirit that he lived his life. It was by the Spirit that he drove out demons. It was by the Spirit he healed people. It was by the Spirit that he worked miracles. And it was by the Spirit that he was raised from the dead. But that Jesus doesn't remain in a manger. He grew up. That's what this whole mystery of godliness is. That this baby would become a man, would die for us. That the mystery of godliness is that we could be holy with him. Because many people... Because many people think they're just not good enough to get to heaven. And you know what? They're absolutely right. The good news of the Bible is that nobody can go to heaven. Doesn't sound very good news till you know that the way has been made. Not by Scarborean shepherds or Ninja Turtle kings, but by the little baby that was born in the manger and what he did for us. So the mystery is that we can be holy with the Holy One. Yes, the mystery came as a person. His name was Jesus. But through that mystery, there's another mystery solved. There's another secret. We can now be with God. So the secret is that God had in this Old Testament that none of the old kings knew about. None of the people that lived before Jesus knew about. But you can know about it. Just think of all the people that have lived that didn't know. But you can. You can. You can know that the secret was Jesus would come and by appearing in his body and dying as a sacrifice, not a lamb like the shepherds on Bethlehem prepared, but the Lamb of God that was perfect, by living a perfect and sinless life, he could become a sacrifice that would enable us to know God. This is a mystery. And yet it's explained. I mean, even when you know the answer, it's still a mystery. You explain to me perfectly why Jesus' death means we can go to heaven. Yes, I know it paid the price, but there's still an element of mystery. I just know that God has provided for me. I know that God has provided for everyone that will turn to him, yeah? The problem is, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. Nobody can make it. But in the same chapter, it actually says, "But now there is a righteousness from God that has appeared." In fact, that's the bit before it. "But now there is a righteousness of God that has appeared." In other words, there's a righteousness you can have. For all have sinned, but you can have this righteousness and be right with God. You see, if you live without God, later in Romans, Paul writes, "The wages of sin is death." Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." You see, if you do your own thing, you end up working and slaving. You'll get paid with an eternity apart from God. But if you come to the baby born at Christmas, who is no longer a baby but grown a man who went on the cross and is no longer on the cross, then you can have the gift, which is eternal life in him. Amen. Have you got the eternal life? Some people doubt that God loves them. It could be a nagging doubt. Does God really love me? But again, in Romans, Paul writes, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, before you know him, when you were still an enemy of God, if you like, you could have been living any lifestyle you pleased, but Christ would still die for you. The question is, would you accept that death for yourself? Would you accept what he won by dying for you and rising again? Will you say, "Jesus, yeah, I do believe in you. I give my life to you. I surrender to you. I will follow you." Then you will really know that first secret Christmas gift, because it was a secret for thousands of years. There were hints. Anybody ever go to the Christmas tree and sort of prod the presents under there? "What's this present here? Oh, it feels like a boy. That's a strange present." You know, it was a bit like that with the Old Testament prophets. They would talk of what was coming. And the amazing thing about Jesus was he filled every bump in the Christmas packaging. Everything that was spoken about him. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would come from Nazareth. I mean, those two are contradictory for a start. How could he become from Bethlehem? How could he be born in Bethlehem yet come from Nazareth? It sounds, and then it also says of the coming Messiah, "Out of Egypt I will call him." Well, there's three things that if you were looking from the other side of the fence, how can they make sense? How can he come from Bethlehem, Egypt, and Nazareth all at the same time? And yet Jesus filled the bumps in the present by being born in Bethlehem. They escaped to Egypt. He was called back from Egypt into Israel and grew up in Nazareth. Amazing how he couldn't have arranged that. He was too little. "Here, Mum, get us down to Egypt, quick." Yeah, and when Mary was pregnant, you can just imagine the baby in the womb saying, "Mary, Mummy, we've got to get down to Bethlehem for December the 25th. Or maybe not. Jason, can I borrow you for a minute? Here's my Scarborean Shepherd. Now, you see, I want you to walk over this way. You'll see why in a minute. It's the only bit of stage I can use. Many people live their Christian life a bit like this. They start down here, and they think that God, it could be higher really, but well, this will do, that God is up here somewhere. They think God is up there somewhere. And even though they're saved, and even though they know they've got the gift of Jesus, some of them live day by day down here thinking, "I'm getting a little bit nearer. I'll get there. One day I'll be there." But the message of Christmas is not so much that Jesus came to us, but that through him we can come to him. Because you actually start every day, not here, but it's like this, Jesus Christ has lifted you up here. You start there. You haven't got to start by trying to be good enough. You haven't got to start by trying to work your way up there. You actually start the day up here. And there might be things you do wrong and stumble and fall, but God's there, puts you back. You do something else wrong, but God catches you and puts you back. He's very good. He's very trusting. It could be something terribly, terribly wrong. Thank you. But God is still there to put you right back with Him. You see, I'm looking Him straight in the eyes. And God puts you in right on the heavenly throne with Him. You're in His place because of the gift of Christmas, or the gift at Christmas time. Amen? Thank you, Jason. Hallelujah. So yeah, the nativity, the mystery of it, the biggest mystery of all, is that this little baby was actually an ultimate Christmas gift. Not because He was just the Son of God, but also because He was the Son of God, and because He was holy, He actually makes us holy. How? Because He appeared in a body, He was justified by the Holy Spirit, seen by the angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and most importantly, at the end of His life, He was taken back up into glory, which shows that we too don't have to live down here, but that by believing in Him, we can be taken up and live in glory. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You'll remember the Ninja Mutant Teenage Turtle Kings, won't you? I hope you remember the other bit of the message as well. Well, wow, we did rush through those carols. Right. Let's stand up. We're going to take up an offering in a minute. Stand up, guys. Hallelujah. Why don't you go turn to at least six people and say, Merry Christmas!
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.